This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you another beautiful Christmas song by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians, and continue with our verse-by-verse study of the book of Acts, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. But before we get to that, I would like to remind you to keep us in your prayers, especially at this time of year, as we get all involved with Christmas and getting together with family. We sometimes forget our ministry. So send us a donation if you can, and pray for us each and every day. Well, right now, let's hear It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, and then Dr. Green.
That glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world stillness lay to hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold. Which now the angels sing.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, and as we open Thy Word to study today, I beg for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Speak to my heart, speak through these lips of clay, to those who wait in the great unseen radio audience. Dear Lord God, I cannot see the people, but thank you, Father. I know that Thou art looking down upon every home, upon every person who is listening to the Gospel Hour now. Save the lost, reclaim the backslidden, revive the indifferent, and get glory to Thy precious name. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. On yesterday's broadcast, we finished reading Acts chapter 6, but I'd like to point out just a couple of things before we go into chapter 7. Now, in Acts 6 and verse 7, the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied, and a great company of priests, the Bible tells us, a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Now, that means they renounced the religion of their fathers, and they accepted the faith that the disciples had been talking about, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Stephen was full of faith and power, and he preached, and of course the word of God was preached in power, and people were saved, and the devil became angry, extremely angry. You know, when just an ordinary person is saved, the devil doesn't have too much to say about that, a little child or just an ordinary person. But when a great company of religious leaders, or when some outstanding religionist is born again, you can expect the devil to put up a howl, and he did here, and he always will. Now, in verse 15, the last verse in chapter 6, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, that is Stephen, saw his face as had been the face of an angel. Now, there is Stephen, one believer, just one believer, but God is with him. Jesus promised, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And thank God he was with Stephen, as we'll see later, very definitely with Stephen. So, as the council met and Stephen sat in their midst, all of them were gazing at him, and they saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Hallelujah. I'm thanking God now for this experience that Stephen had. It gives me assurance, and it gives me grace, and it gives me courage to press on and not to compromise with any man concerning the fundamentals of the faith. And the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. Listen, beloved, if you're not a minister, and if you've never been in a minister's position, you don't know how the devil fights preachers. My friend, the more God's man preaches God's word, the more the devil will fight him and do everything in his diabolical power to destroy that man. If a man is a spirit-filled deacon, the devil fights that deacon. If a man is a spirit-filled Sunday school teacher, the devil fights that man. The more you try to do for Jesus, and the closer you try to live to Jesus, and the more faithfully you preach the word of God, the more the devil will do to destroy you, and he'll do anything in this wide world that he can to destroy you and to ruin you and to kill your testimony. A lot of people, dear ministers, and a lot of Sunday school teachers, they're not liberals, but if the devil can drive them off on some tangent and get them on a religious hobby horse, and all the time they talk about the same thing over and over and over all the time. Listen, we are to preach the full gospel and live the full gospel. We're not to take one part that we lack and leave all the rest out. We are to preach it all, every bit of it. Preach the word, Paul said to Timothy. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So Stephen was that kind of a man, and they hated him, and they were determined to destroy him. Now in chapter 7, then said the high priest, are these things so? The high priest addressed Stephen, and he asked him, did you blaspheme the temple? Did you blaspheme Abraham? Did you blaspheme Moses? And did you blaspheme the law of Moses? And here's what he said. Stephen now is speaking, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers. Now, Stephen is a born-again, spirit-filled child of God. But he speaks to his brethren in Israel. Brethren, he said. The God of glory, the God of glory. Now, he wants these men to know that he knows what he's talking about. He's laying a foundation. And as we study day by day, you'll see Stephen as he lays the foundation. And he builds on this foundation by reminding these men that they're guilty of the very thing that they are accusing him to be guilty of. They accused him of blasphemy, and they're guilty of blasphemy. Now he said, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. Notice, our father Abraham. Now watch it. When he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. Now that's spelled C-H-A-R-R-A-N. But if you'll notice in your center column, it's Haran. In other words, it was before he lived in Haran. And they said unto him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans, and he dwelt in Haran. And from hence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. All right? Now, this man Stephen, a man filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with faith, and filled with wisdom, he is laying the foundation to show these people that they are not what they claim to be. They said he blasphemed the temple, he blasphemed Moses, he blasphemed the law, and now he brings to their memory the God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of the fathers. Now you read back in John, for instance, chapter 8, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now that's what Stephen is preaching. He is going back in the Old Testament scriptures, and he is using the truth of the Old Testament to attempt to turn on the light in the soul, in the heart, in the spirit of these his brethren in the flesh. He is doing everything in his power to get them to open their heart to the truth. And he knows if he can get them to receive the truth, they'll be set free from bondage, and they'll be set free from darkness, and they'll receive the glorious liberty of the sons of God, the liberty that he and the other disciples were enjoying. So he said, "Ye shall know the truth, truth shall make you free." They answered him, now I'm reading in John 8:33. In John 8:33, they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed." We be Abraham's seed. "And we never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free?" Now, these are the same people, the same group, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priest, the high priest, the rulers, the elders. They are the same group here that is now staring at Stephen. And even though they see his face as the face of an angel, that doesn't faze them. So he's using the scriptures. He's going back to the Old Testament. And you know, Jesus used anything Jesus spoke was scripture. Anything he said was word of God, because he was God in flesh. But even though he was God in flesh, Jesus went back to the Old Testament many, many times, and he quoted Old Testament scriptures. So Stephen is following in the footsteps of Jesus, and he's preaching Old Testament gospel to a group of men who are familiar with the Old Testament, and they know what the Old Testament has to say. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But they said, "We can't be set free. We are Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage. And how do you say, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word is not, or hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children..." Now, some months ago, when we studied the Gospel of John, of course, it's been a year ago now, when we were here studying, I emphasized, and of course, many of you heard it, many of you didn't hear it, but I emphasized, I suppose, two or three broadcasts. And I tried my best to drive home to the hearts of the Gospel Hour listeners and the Gospel Hour family the difference that Jesus pointed out here. He said, "Oh yes, I know you are the descendants of Abraham." Now he said seed. I know that you are Abraham's seed. Now that's verse 37. But he said, "If you were the children of Abraham, you'd do the works of Abraham." If you were the children of Abraham, they said, "We are the children." They said, "Abraham is our father." Now that's in verse 39. But he said, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." Now let me say this today. Let me bring this down to our time and to this very moment. Beloved, religions of works and signs and wonders, religions that offer something to feel, something to see, these religions are growing like wildfire in America and around the world. And there is a reason. As the end becomes nearer and nearer and nearer, as we approach the end of the age, we'll see more and more of this type of religion. But I want to say, from the day Jesus went back to the Father until the day that the church is caught up in the clouds to meet Jesus in the air, the just shall live by faith, not by feelings, not by signs and wonders, lights and thunder and chills and thrills, but the just shall live by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin, according to the Bible. But religions that promise to produce something and show you something and let you feel something and let you have some outstanding experience, these religions are growing. But it is still by grace through faith. We're saved by faith in grace. That is, when we exercise faith in the finished work of God, the grace of God becomes ours. And that's what Abraham did. He was faithful. He was the father of the faithful. And it's still by faith. Now let me go ahead here. Abraham, Abraham did my works. And if you were the children of Abraham, you'd work the works of Abraham. Now here's what I was trying to say, and what I want to say and get across to you. When a person is genuinely born again, they'll work. They'll work for Jesus. They'll do good works. They'll practice good works. They'll enjoy good works. They'll be zealous for good works, because the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us not only to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, but to live soberly, righteously, and godly, looking for that blessed hope, and it gives us zeal for good works. Read Titus 2:11 and following, Titus 2:11-15, and you'll see that the grace of God makes us zealous to do good works. Why? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are not saved by works. We are saved by God's grace through faith, but faith that saves us produces works. Abraham was the father of the faithful, and he worked the work of God. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me. You seek to kill me because I told you the truth. I told you what I heard from God. Now he said, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word, ye are of your father the devil. Now that's the very crowd, the very group, before whom Stephen is now appearing. Stephen is on trial, and he's testifying before the very gang that Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. And that's the reason you do the things you do, and say the things you say, and live the way you live. You are of your father, the devil, and you do these things because of the nature of your heart. In other words, Stephen is saying to these people, if you had the kind of a heart that Abraham had, you would not have treated Jesus as you did, and you would not be treating me as you are now treating me. For instance, look at Genesis 12, if you will, just a moment. Genesis chapter 12, and here is the scripture that Stephen reminds these people of in his message here in Acts 7. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. Now remember, Stephen is appealing to these Pharisees and leaders in religion. He is appealing to them to remember what God said to Abraham and how God dealt with Abraham. And if they were the seed, that is the children of Abraham, spiritually speaking, then they would not be acting as they were that day or when they demanded the death of Jesus. Now God said, get up and get out, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now we have here the promise of the seed that would bless all humanity. And of course, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom they had nailed to the cross. They demanded his death. They said, we'll not have this man. We don't want him. Now, they were not the children of Abraham. Descendants, yes. Descendants, yes. Spiritual children, no. They did not have the faith. They did not have the heart that Abraham had. Now, God said, get up and get out and go to a land. I'll show you. I'll make you great. I'll make your name great. I'll bless you. I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. So, in verse 4, Abraham departed. He didn't argue with God. He didn't talk back to God. God said, get up and get out, and I'll show you. And he obeyed. Now, beloved, we are to hear the word of God. We are to listen to God's word. We are to obey God's word. You're not to ask any questions. When God says it, that's final. You don't need to question God, because when God speaks truth. And there's not a thing you can do about it, regardless of what you think about it. And he took Sarah, and he took Lot, And he took all of his possessions. And we read in verse 7, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built an altar to the Lord, and he appeared unto him. The Lord appeared to Abraham. And he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel. And that means the house of God. That word Bethel means it was a place in Canaan, meaning the house of God. And he pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south. Now, if you would read, and we don't have time today to read the next chapter and the 14th and the 15th chapter, you'd see how God dealt with Abraham and how that God blessed him and God answered his prayer and God used him. Now, these men who are trying Stephen, he's on trial for his life, and in just a short while they'll stone him to death. Stephen is showing them that if they were the true children of Abraham, if they had the heart of Abraham, if they knew the God that Abraham knew, they would not be treating him as they were. They would not be persecuting believers. They would not have demanded the death of Jesus if they knew the God that Abraham had known and the God of their fathers and the one that Abraham served and the one that Moses served and the one who sent Abraham, the one who sent Moses, and the one who sent the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they had hanged on a tree and demanded his death. Stephen is laying the foundation for his final appeal to his brethren in the flesh. Now let me emphasize, it was a wonderful day when God, the God of glory, came to Abraham. He came as the God of glory. He came to Abraham with a commission. He came with a promise. He gave Abraham a commission, and he gave Abraham a promise. Abraham obeyed God. He had faith in God, and God kept his promise. And God is still keeping his promise, and God will do everything that he promised Abraham. You can rest assured that every jot and every tittle of every word of every promise that God made to Abraham will be fulfilled literally. Now, in Abraham, he came with a blessing. He came to begin a special people, loved and honored above all the peoples of this earth. They were known as the apple of God's eye. I speak of Israel. Now, Stephen is laying the foundation. He's paving the way for his final comparison. He's going to show to these people who are his brethren in the flesh that the God of glory who appeared to Abraham has also appeared to them in the person of God's only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had declared the Father sent him. He declared that he had come to do the will of the Father. He spoke the words of the Father. He worked the works of the Father. He performed miracles that no human had ever performed or could perform. And he said, believe me for the work's sake. In other words, God, the God of glory, spoke to Abraham. They claimed to be Abraham's seed and Abraham's descendants. But the same God of glory had spoken to them in Jesus, but they refused to hear him. Abraham heard God. Abraham obeyed God, but they would not hear. They would not obey. Our Father, honor thy word and help men, women today to hear the word, to believe the word, to receive the word, and to be saved. Help them not to commit the sin of unbelief that damned the souls of these people who are about to demand the death of Stephen. Save our Father every unsaved person listening now. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and although Christmas is right around the corner now, I do have one final gift offer for you related to Christmas, and I know you will want to have this offer to enjoy now and next year. And so Gift Offer E contains a CD of music, a 2-CD set with Preaching by Dr. Green and great music, and finally a 4-page tract especially designed for Christmas, but of course usable throughout the year, because when you tell the story of the gospel, it is useful all year long. So all of this is available to you in gift offeree in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $10 or more. Please send more if you can. If you can send $20, $50, even more, I urge you to do so. And if you would like to order several sets of offeree to maybe give as last-minute Christmas gifts or put in the church library or however you can use it, you can do so. Just tell me how many sets of offeree you want, and please send the donation of at least $10 for each set that you order. And in return, I'm going to send you first a 4-page tract by Dr. Green entitled A Gift for You, a wonderful opening to talk to others about Christ at this season of the year. I'm sending you 5 copies with information of how to order 10, 50, 100, however many you can use in your community. And as I said, they are useful all year long. A gift for you. Then we have Celebrating His Birth in Sermon and Song, and that's exactly what it is. The first CD contains the message, The Gift of God by Dr. Green. The second CD contains 10 songs, including Silent Night with a reading by Dr. Green of the Christmas story. Also, Joy to the World, Away in a Manger, and other great music. Finally, we have an album of Christmas music entitled Great Tidings of Joy, with beautiful music by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians, such as It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and so on. So to get all 3 items in this offer, just ask for Gift Offer E and send your gift of at least $10. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.